Blog Talk Radio.
Time, the ever-flowing river. Come with us now to a time before man, when the river flowed through a newborn world, and giants walked in. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Herds. They do move in herds.
What have we done?
Are you the best or the worst? It's worse than madness.com.
It's alive!
Live from the pit, we welcome you to step into the abyss.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode number 10 of The Abyss.
My God, we've done 10 of these things?
Where the hell does the time go, man? Seriously.
Through the internet and out of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's like pretty much most of my life, just through the internet and out of my ass. But
well, you guys are lucky. What's the weather down there like, guys? Because here it's like 34 degrees and raining. It's cold, it's rainy, it's cloudy, and my lumbago hurts.
Well, hold up now. I'm in Maryland. It's 32 right here.
You're in Maryland?
I sure am.
Wow. How'd you get to Maryland?
I flew, and boy, here my arm. Oh.
I was going the same goddamn place.
I thought you lived in Florida, Preston.
I do, but occasionally I make it up here.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, it would suck there in Maryland. Yeah, it sure would. Well, welcome to wintertime, kids.
It's something else that you wouldn't know about.
We've determined so officially the position on Maryland is that it sucks. Okay, good.
It's further north than Tennessee, and that's a fact of the day.
Yeah. Thank you, kid. Geography lesson from the abyss there. How's everybody doing? What's up? Wow. Not talked to you guys in like what, a week?
I know. It's been a wild, crazy week. All kinds of crazy stuff happening, and really – honestly, we are kind of struggling to come up with shows here, people. I mean, not that we have a lack of stuff to say. It's just that we're kind of getting out of that post-haunt season funk and trying to get into something else. And I don't know about you guys. It's just not working for me yet. So.
I have a lack of stuff to say.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
I thought I'd lost you. I thought I'd lost you. Sorry, guys. My computer tends to crash. So, great and fearless leader, what are we talking about? Oh, I guess we should tell everybody, our listener, that we have
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. They're not ready.
They're not ready. Okay, sorry. No. Well, what are we talking about today then, fearless leader?
Well, now that you touched on it a little bit, we do have a special surprise. Actually, our fearless webmaster over at awesomebadness.com has made a little special surprise for all of our listeners and all of our readers, all five of you. And we are going to be announcing that later on in the show. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That'll keep them listening.
And if you do want to call in and, I don't know, maybe you want to find out what the surprise is going to be, you can call in at 347.
Big.
One word for it. Classic.
Classic.
I think that worked last time better than it's going to work this time.
Yeah, it worked better coming from J-Mod than me.
No, but 347-237-5266. If you want to call and try to get it out of us or just talk about our subject this week, which is...
Movie.
The fall movie preview.
Specifically the fall movies. Yes,
specifically. Because in the summertime you have all these big, nutted in your ass, up your face. Wait a minute. Reverse that. In your face, up your ass, explosion. Whoa.
Calling Dr. Freud.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to go there this week.
Up your face.
Up your face and your ass? Jesus, what?
Well, how would you even do that?
In that order.
In that order. Wow. No, summer movies are special. They're big, they're loud, and they make shit piles of money.
That they do.
And fall movies are special in another way. They do make shit piles of money as well, a lot of them, especially some of the ones on the list this week. But other movies are going for a different kind of gold, a little Oscar gold, a little Golden Globe action. And there's, you know, there's quite a few different movies on the list this go around.
Fall and winter movies also tend to be a little quieter. They tend to I notice there's a lot of movies on this list that are going for kids. You don't see that in the summer a lot. Christmas all of a sudden, and you get the companies wanting to sell the toys, so you get the kids movie that you got to get them out before Thanksgiving, so the kids can have time to see the film and bug their parents to get in the toys.
And the genres are really far apart too. Either you got something coming out straight for kids, or it's guns and explosions like a Bond movie.
Or you have
so
a lot
really,
of yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say they're hitting the target left or right.
Like an important film, you know, Memoirs of a Geisha's Mother-in-Law, you know, whatever, stuff like that.
Well, yeah,
an important statement by Ron Howard.
Or Yay Cowboys Eating Pudding, so.
Oh, that's my favorite. I love that one.
That is my favorite episode of South Park ever. All independent films are just a bunch of gay cowboys eating pudding, and a couple of years later, Ang Lee made that possible. So,
it's true. I don't think that was pudding, man.
Oh! But actually, little side fact, that was actually a throwback to their first movie, Cannibal the Musical, which was about Alfred Packer, and there's a scene where they're eating fudge. So,
Alfred
yeah.
Packer and they're eating fudge. Fudge Packer.
Yes, sir. It was originally called Fudge Packer the Musical. True fact.
Wow.
I don't know, Carrier, the fact that there was a Fudge Packer the Musical, or that you know that there was a Fudge Packer the Musical.
Oh,
that's
hilarious.
Good for him.
Well, what can Brown do for you? Oh, I'm sorry, what?
We got movies that are coming out this fall. Let's
Dude,
talk
I,
about
I'm
them.
Having more fun just kind of bullshitting our way through it this week. But,
well, I've got the list here. Let's see what the list is. Actually, the list starts on the 7th of November, so we've already passed that.
Yeah, actually, it started way back in October, but nothing really huge came out except for High School Musical and Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Which I actually saw, High School Musical 3. I ran out and saw it on the very first day it came out. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because that Troy, he's dreamy.
No, actually, it was in hopes that you would get laid, but we're not going there, are we?
Yeah, that's right. It was in hopes that I would get laid because I was there with a couple of 13-year-olds. So, yeah, sure.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. I wasn't going there, B, but okay.
Oh, they cut me out.
No, but
no.
So how was it?
It was exactly what you expected it to be, which means if you're 13, you love it. If you're not, forget it, you know. There's a couple of decent songs. You know, there's the dancing is good, if you like that thing. Ridiculous. And what I really hated about it is I even like this one less than the other one, because with the kids I've been forced to watch them all, is they totally narrowed it down to just the two leads now. The Troy and whatever her name is, Vanessa, I think her name is Vanessa Hudgens. They've narrowed it down to just those two, and all the rest of the kids just sort of play second or third fiddle now. And I was with a 13-year-old girl who was complaining about that because she was a big fan. What's the other guy? The black guy.
Corbin. That's the guy's real name, right?
Blue, name. Yeah.
Corbin Blue, right?
Corbin Blue.
Blue. And he is just pushed into the background of this thing. I mean, it is the Zac Efron show. It really is. I mean, it's all about him, big close-ups of Zac, you know, and it was just, it was an ego thing for him.
Well, now all those 13-year-olds can feel like the rest of us and know what it feels like to be betrayed by Disney when you love something and they take it away.
Yeah,
that's what Disney does.
Well, you know, I mean, for kids that age, they'll love it. You know, the music is good, and there's even a couple of songs that have me tapping my feet, you know, but it's mostly pain. Warning.
That was actually funny coming from you, Preston. Disney takes our things we love and just rips them away from us. That was funny. You want to dive down a little deeper into that? Let's turn the show around.
Well,
back up the closing Epcot down. Closing Epcot.
Yeah. Oh, no. Let's go back to 20,000 Leagues and Toad. They've done it for a long time. It's what theme parks do. They wait till you love it and they take it away.
I love 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. What a great ride. I mean, I'll never forget the first time I ever went to Disney World. It was so long ago, there was only one park at the time. And I remember seeing 20,000 Leagues and just flipping out over it. I didn't know what it was at the time. I just thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And to this day, I can't think of an attraction that looks that cool from the outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It
oh, yeah.
looks like it would be that awesome. I could just sit and watch the submarines go round and around. It was great. And again, Toad, you're absolutely right. Toad was a
yeah, that's right. Toad was a yeah.
was a censored. Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Toad was censored. Toad was just ripped apart and pulled away from us right before it got to the good parts. That's right. You're damn
right before hell.
It's something. Oh, don't tell me my computer's decided to update at the moment. No. All right. I don't know why. I'm sorry. My voice keeps dropping out. So what was Toad replaced with?
A pile of poo.
Yes, it was.
It actually was.
I've been on Winnie the Pooh. It's not a bad ride for what it is. You know, there's a couple of neat things in it. I like the way that they use the fiber optics to do water, and they have the stuff bobbing up and down on the water. That's really cute. But
I'm going to tell you guys, the jumping isn't fun if you get stuck in the T-bar, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Being a big guy, we always get stuck in the T-bar, don't we, Preston?
Actually, it wasn't me. It was my friend, but I still felt his pain through the mind, I believe.
Do you know why they put poo in there? They replaced it with poo because poo moves plush. Moves those little stuffed animals. But I've noticed that as time has gone by at Disney, the more I go, little by little, the entire park has been overtaken by these plush stuffed characters. They started out in a couple of stores. Now they're everywhere. It's like all they freaking sell is plush.
And speaking of plush little characters, the holiday movie season got kicked off in the big time overdrive this week with Madagascar 2, Escape to Africa.
Which is better than expected, I think.
Yeah. It pretty much made its budget in the first weekend, something like $67 million, which top the first one, so please just type down and shove sharp, blunt instruments into my pee hole. I do not want to see that.
I don't know. I kind of, well, like I said, I was taking care of a couple of kids, so I saw the first Madagascar. It wasn't so bad. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but as kids' movies go, it was pretty good.
I hate Madagascar, and that was the beginning of the end for DreamWorks Animation for me.
So what do you hate worse? Do you hate Madagascar or The Wild? Because they're the same freaking movie.
I like The Wild. I actually like The Wild. I thought the animation was better, and there wasn't a pop culture reference every five fucking minutes.
Yeah, that's what surprises me is how much, like, when Disney doesn't use Pixar, have you got Meet the Robinsons and The Wild, actually, the animation is superior. It really, as a whole, as the detail goes, I like Meet the Robinsons. I thought that was a great family flick that was underrated.
Oh, I liked it, too. I really did. I think the T-Rex is still one of the funniest things that I've ever seen.
Oh, I mean, it was like a kid's Back to the Future, in a sense.
I have a big head and tiny arms. That's funny.
And the Frank Sinatra frog. Yeah.
Yes.
I think maybe there were too many ideas in that. It's like they were juggling three movies at once. They could have made three movies that I thought they had there. But too many ideas are better than too few. But when you get a film with too many ideas, you end up with the ideas not being fully developed, and you end up being not satisfied because the thing that you thought was interesting is perhaps not the thing that the filmmakers thought was interesting, so you don't get the idea developed the way you'd like it. If that makes
sense. I'm with Eric. I'm tired of CGI pop culture reference fest. It's turning into a clean cut Family Guy. It's just all pop culture flashbacks.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to the kids again, and they are of the opinion that this is what cartoons look like now. They can't watch regular cell drawn animation anymore. It seems old fashioned to them.
Well, even Disney, they push their characters. I mean, you could say PhilharMagic, but Disney has that Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and that's the classic characters computer generated.
Yeah, digitally animated. And, well, moving on to the next week, you know, I'm not even going to touch on Role Models because it looks like a big stink fest.
You know what Role Models looks like to me? It looked, hey, look, it's the Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
But the next one is
it's cute. They cuss. That's love.
Right down to the racist black kid. Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
It's true.
But this week should be huge as well with the next installment in the 007 franchise, Casino Royale. That's Daniel Craig back for the second time. And
Casino Royale?
No, I'm sorry.
That was the last
to Casino Royale. Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you read and don't prepare yourselves, kids.
Yeah. Quantum of Solace.
And it's a direct sequel to Casino Royale, which
starts like 5 minutes after Casino Royale ends. If you remember, in Casino Royale, he had the guy at gunpoint, and he said, Bond, James Bond, and the film ends. This one picks up right there.
Yeah. See, I haven't seen Casino Royale yet, and I've got it in my DVD collection, and I still haven't seen it. I've had it there for a year and a half, and still haven't seen it. But I need to watch that so I can check up on this one. This is actually the first time that Bond has ever done a direct sequel to it. Normally it happens, you know, kind of somewhere off in the universe, and they maybe...
Sometimes a different person when they reboot it.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, I know people that have a problem with the new Bond. I got to admit, I had to adjust my expectations with Casino Royale because I'm used to Bond being big and flashy and kind of dumb. You know, and all of a sudden Casino Royale comes along, and it's like brutally realistic. You know, I mean, I'm not even going to talk about the ball sack torture, but I mean, yeah, literally, no, I mean, it wasn't, it didn't.
It just moved
like
up to number one on my Netflix list.
Ball sack. Hell yes.
I bet you never thought you'd see James Bond engaged in ball sack torture. Well, there you go. But, you know what I mean about it being almost too realistic, not cartoony and enough? It seems more like a Bourne flick than a Bond flick.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of what they were going for. They saw the complete obliteration that Bourne did at the box office and how many people really checked it out. And I think they kind of stood back and looked and say, yeah, we can do that. We can do something like that. And it'll work. And it does.
When is the theme park going to jump on a good Bond stunt show? I mean, wouldn't that be like Lights, Motors, Action?
They actually toyed with the idea back when Paramount.
MGM, right? Oh, was it Paramount?
Yeah, Paramount. They had like a – it was like one of those 3D simulator kind of things.
Yeah, it was a crappy – I saw that. It was like those simulators that are at the air show where just the chairs move, like a Dolly World thing. Dollywood, sorry. Like a Dollywood deal where it's like Jimmy Neutron, but not even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pointless. I've seen too many of those. I'm tired of that.
And the continuity doesn't make sense. Like, you see the guy's feet, then you're in the air, then you're somewhere else. It doesn't feel like a ride. It's just random simulated sequences.
Well, the first James Bond movie that I ever saw was, I was just a small child. I saw Live and Let Die.
Yes.
And so James Bond was Roger Moore to me. It took me a while to come around to drawn to blank Sean Connery. I came in first. He wasn't goofy enough. I like my James Bond movies silly. And for the longest time, you know, that's the way I thought of Bond. And it took me a while to readjust my expectations. But still, when I think of Bond, I don't think of gritty realism, bloody, covered in mud. You know, I think of a volcano with the top opening up and rocket ships and dudes in jumpsuits running around, you know. And, yeah, that's what I think about.
And laser
well, that having said that,
testicular
Casino Royale was a great testicular torch, testicular. Where are we going? But now, once I readjusted expectations, Casino Royale was a very good movie, and this one looks like it's going to be even better because they've amped up the action.
And
they're not going to have people play cards for half the flick.
Well, the thing I really like, going back to the box office here, they kind of throw just all kinds of different movies at you. Yeah, and that just completely came at random out of nowhere. This week we have Bond. Next week we have Disney's Bolt.
Oh, yes. That now there's a history behind Bolt. There's a Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. You're going exactly where I was going to go with it. Back to the story on Ain't It Cool News from years and years ago, right?
It started out as a film called American Dog.
And it actually looked hilarious and very kind of gritty and realistic. And it was going to be hand-drawn, and it was going to be just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, Disney, no, that wouldn't move enough plush.
Yeah.
They've got to turn Bolt. They've got to turn all the characters cute. I mean, you know, one thing they asked me about the old school Disney cartoons, Bambi, Dumbo, all, you know, the character ones, the ones that had a main character. The first thing that always happened in these movies is that their parents died.
Yeah.
It's always a dysfunctional missing family piece. Even in Meet the Robinsons, he's an orphan. He started his own. I'm not going to ruin it, but yeah, I mean that's how it is. Peter Pan, they had both their parents, but they started in a fight, like they were getting a divorce. So it's always
and they ran away. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So what does Disney have against parents? I mean, what seriously? Why,
well, because,
why do they always want to kill Bambi's mom?
Well. Like, yeah, well, I think it's a thing that draws kids in, you know, to the nurturing factor. There's a, because when you have a tragedy like that, you know, there's got to be a happy ending of some sort by the end of it.
Yeah. And it actually gets them in and makes them think that Disney is their friends. And then when their parents aren't looking, they can steal them and make them work in a small world.
Exactly.
They can sell them into indentured servitude in small world.
Those aren't dolls. Crack the surface. There are alive children under there. Oh, my God.
But what do you guys think about Bolt? I mean, seriously, it to me, it just looks like another piece of Disney schlock that I don't
think it's not like. Here's what it is. Here's what it is to me. It's the same throwback plot of Three Amigos, Tropic Thunder. It's actor thinks a man who knew too little. It's the actor that thinks he's in he can handle the real situation, but it's an actor. Only with
this
dog.
Time, the dog. Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's the Three Amigos syndrome. Yeah. It's the same deal.
Just the Three Amigos now. I love the Three Amigos.
Well, of course, it's got the three most careerless comedians in the same movie. They were all together. But I got a story for you guys. My girlfriend and I went to the movies last night and saw Zach and Marie Make a Porno, which was funny. It was a funny Kevin Smith.
Yeah, another great family holiday movie.
Yes, of course. But speaking of family movies, but not so much, we saw a poster that was such a throwback. I mean, this is more going along the lines of the theme of throwbacks here. My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Oh, yeah.
3D slasher coming
yeah,
out.
Great.
The poster looks straight out of the 60s. Like there's an ice pick coming out of the screen with three glasses.
I saw it.
Coming at you.
I actually saw
it's
that
a crappy movie, but now it's crappy in 3D.
Well, I'm proud. I'm proud of the filmmakers for going that route because they could be like all the rest of the filmmakers and say, "Well, we're going to go and we're going to strip it back and take it back to the roots." These people actually looked at it and said, "Look, it was a shitty movie to begin with, so let's make it a shitty fun movie as a remake. People will pay." To see that, so
yeah,
Well, 3D is just a gimmick. I mean, there's no. I mean, I've seen a ton of 3D movies, and I got to tell you, they are no better than. I'd rather see a good flat movie than a crappy 3D movie. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing: you're never going to get that 3D quality like you do in a theme park. It's just not there. No, it's not the film. It's not the way they film. But the thing is, and there was an article on this, and it's a great point. Disney, like Bolt, and with Bolt and their 3D stuff, their animation, and tons of other movies. Are going to start going to 3D. You know why? Because you can't bootleg it. It comes out twice as shitty.
Yeah.
So it's smart. So basically what they're doing is they're giving you not 3D glasses, but it's turning into decoder glasses. So everything lines up properly. I mean, that's
well, honestly, I mean, do you honestly think Bolt is going to be any better in 3D or 2D? I mean, do you think it's going to make that much difference film-wise?
I will say this. I was dragged to see Journey to the Center of the Earth 3D, I know. But at least it wasn't Mummy 3. But anyway, I was dragged to see that. And the preview, it looked good 3D. It was in my face, like a theme park. I was impressed for once. So who knows? But
the 3D's getting better. The digital projection is making the 3D a whole lot better.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was digital projection theater, so... It was there. I mean, it was good.
Moving on to week three. Or actually, no. We're still on week two.
We can discuss Twilight.
Yeah, exactly. Twilight. It's basically, what is it, Romeo and Juliet versus Interview with a Vampire.
The Vampire.
Yeah.
It's Anne Rice's girl on to the new show, yes. It's Anne Rice generation.
Well, Harry Potter meets Anne Rice.
Well, it's Anne Rice. Yeah, it's Anne Rice meets the CW, so.
Yeah, basically. I don't know anything about it. I know it's going to be huge, but they talk about what a huge phenomenon the Twilight books are.
Remember when the WB was ending and CW was like, we're going to have better programming?
Yeah. That,
yeah, like, imagine that. A TV network lied? What are the odds?
Now, CW is like the UPN.
And it looks like Angel.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like Angel. It looks like all those. But apparently this was a book series that tons and tons of teenage girls fell in love with, so it's going to be absolutely huge. So, next movie I really want to talk about, The Soloist. And nobody probably has even heard or seen this movie. So
I've heard a little bit, but tell me more.
Robert Downey Jr., Jamie Foxx. Robert Downey Jr. is a reporter. Jamie Foxx is a schizophrenic violinist.
But what does he play?
I'm going to hit you.
So he plays Robert Downey Jr.?
He's a dude dressed up like a dude playing another dude. Took me a second. I got you.
Actually, I wasn't even thinking of that.
I'm good looking at this. This looks like something I might watch if it came on HBO, maybe.
This is what it's like me. Jamie Foxx's career is kind of slowing down after Ray.
Ray was the peak. That there's no going back from that. That's
Robert Downey Jr. is trying to get back at the top of his career with two very successful films this year. He's trying to go for a third. This could be Oscar bait. This really could. This could be the stuff that gets them both really right back on top, turns Jamie Foxx back around, and makes Robert Downey Jr. a freaking legend.
They're hoping it's going to be the broke back of the year.
Except they're not gay, so.
Well, yes, that goes without saying.
Make no mistake about it. That's what sold Brokeback Mountain. Now, once you got in there and saw that it was actually a good film, that's one thing. But before the only
it was all hearsay.
Brokeback Mountain was, let's go see the Cowboys hump. That is what sold the damn flick.
Well, and once the gay and lesbian community in the audience. Yeah. Well, I mean, the gay and lesbian audience really took it, too. I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a big demographic.
Yeah.
So
That's exactly what got people in there. I want to see Heath Ledger fuck Jake Gyllenhaal in the ass. That's all it boiled down.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
This doesn't have appeal.
I remember Eric said that exact quote. I'll
never forget. I did, actually. So, yes, I would really like to see that because I want to see Jake Gyllenhaal get fucked in the ass. He just looks like a little bitch.
I wanted to see it until I knew it was the other way around. But, you know.
I was like a catcher.
But, no, this doesn't have any kind of great stuff to draw people in, except for Jamie Foxx playing music again, and that might draw people in. Next on the list, coming out the day before Thanksgiving, is Australia. Yay, Australia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Directed by Bob, who, of course, Moulin Rouge and Das Boot, and I don't know.
Next.
I'm one of the few people that didn't like Moulin Rouge, and this actually looks kind of like Gone with the Wind.
English aristocrat Nicole Kidman inherits a ranch and teams up with a stockman. Teams up. What's it? Teams up. What is that? No euphemism for fucking now? Teams up? Give me a break.
Yeah.
In order to
I remember when Eric said he wanted to see that because... Oh, no.
go ahead. Come on. Bring it. Bring it, motherfucker. Come on.
No, but I saw a preview for that months ago before Dark Knight. I think I was watching No Country for Old Men. And I saw the preview for that, and it looked awful. Yeah, oh, yeah. But the preview looked awful. Awful.
And it's something like 3.5 hours long, and...
It's one of those things where it segues into a fantasy, like Princess Bride, you know? It's awful.
Definitely it would segue into something like Princess Bride, man. That would be awesome.
Well, you know what I mean, but it's a segue film. It's a fantasy with the
Princess
intro.
Bride, best date movie ever. And
that's
really
true.
You to tell somebody, you know, to see that
you in the castle.
Yeah.
I love that.
My name is... Oh, no.
Okay. So we've determined that we don't care about Australia at all.
Yeah, we don't care about it. Somebody does. Right. And it's coming out.
Sorry.
Transporter 3. Jesus Christ.
Looks more like Crank 2.
Which they're making Crank 2.
But are all his concepts the same? Like in Crank, he couldn't drop below a certain level. In Transporter 3, Transporter 3, he can't go too far from the car. I mean, you know, I guess Speed covered the bus and cruise thing, but... I mean, what's going on?
Yeah,
in Transporter 4, he won't be able to get with. He won't be able to get 3 feet from his iPod pod, or it'll explode.
Transporter 5.
I like
it. Go ahead.
Can't get too far from his colostomy bag, or it'll bust.
He'll have to fight the company.
Transporter 1, good flick. Transporter 1, good flick. I enjoyed it. Transporter 2. Not quite as good, but the action, the car chases, it's one of the best car action films I've ever seen. Transporter 3, I'll watch it just for the stunts.
Yeah, and that was the same with Crank. Crank was just a crazy, the plot was not there, the acting was terrible, but god damn, was that a fun movie.
Movie.
Sure was.
Complete guy movie. Four Christmases, anybody care?
I saw a trailer for that. It looked kind of funny, but the same old run-of-the-mill. Oh, no, there's a holiday family flick. Not family flick, but having to do with the couple's families. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a Vince
one of those
comic.
Everybody's arguing. Everybody's unhappy. They all get together. They fight and they argue. Wacky things happen. And then at the end, they all realize that Christmas is magical and yada, yada, blah.
And we love our family, and we all want
to hug.
It's forever, and we love it, and it doesn't happen.
No one's starving, and everyone, never mind. Next.
Christmas filler.
And nobody's alone. Right, B?
And nobody's
I want to
alone.
I see four Hanukkahs.
Exactly. Nobody's alone, and don't get me started, dude. Seriously, I'm not going to whine on the air. Crossing Over is the next one on my list.
Well, Harrison
Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. Got to love that.
Harrison Ford and Sean Penn. That's a pretty high-powered cast there.
Yeah. And just a week after, or actually 2 days after, you have Sean Penn starring in Milk, which tells the story of dairy cows all across the country.
Yes,
yeah, I thought that was a joke when I first saw it. I did. I was like,
No, it's actually about Harvey Milk, who is first openly gay elected official in 1977, so...
What's the film about? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's got Gus Van Sant directing it. So
yeah, Gus Van Sant directed it, and I don't know. He's kind of hit and miss. I liked Elephant, but I liked Finding Forrester, but I don't know.
Drugstore Cowboy, man, it's a great fucking movie. I love that movie. You've seen
the film that was? What was the film that was supposed to come out? That was a biopic about the guy that challenged Ford at the invention of the windshield wiper. That looked like
With the Greg Kinnear. What was that? Well, these movies, they hype them, and then then they come out, and then they forget about them completely.
They disappear. They just fall
under the feet. I saw the ad for that movie over and over again, and now I can remember the name of it.
But I actually wanted to see it. It's one of those American stories that looked really good.
Well, none of these so far, we've not seen anything that's going to cause me to jump up and run to a theater yet.
Actually, December 5th, there is a movie coming out that's not on our list called, and I think it's going to be in limited release, which really, really sucks, called Cadillac Records, all about the Chess Records movie scene, or music scene, with like Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters and Etta James and all those. And it's got Adrian Brody as one of the sleazy guys.
I can see that.
Beyonce Knowles, I'm not sure I like her as Etta James, but the guy that they have playing Muddy Waters and Mos Def as Chuck Berry, oh my God, dead on. Dead on. And
yeah,
they their own
you know what, Mos Def, I was angry because Mos Def was playing Ford Prefect in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and he pulled that off very, very well. So I'm not going to give, I'm going to give Mos the benefit of the doubt there.
So definitely. But speaking of the benefit of the doubt, we are going to take a quick break so I can go get some water and another beer. And we'll be right back. Woohoo!
Hey, what's going on, In the Loop fans? Clint Novak here with the rest of the In the Loop crew. Go ahead and say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hello.
Well, that was exciting. We're promoting In the Loop here, guys. Can we do a little more enthusiastically, please?
No!
Come listen to us every single Monday night at 7:30 live on Blog Talk Radio, or you can catch us at CoasterCrew.com.
That's right. Check out all the coaster news and more jackassery than you can shake a stick at.
And see who will be voted the douche of the week.
Douche! I just can't do it like that, Ken.
In more ways than one.
Safe. Do you like action movies?
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Comedies?
What? Knockers. Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Movies so bad that they're great.
I want to break every beautiful bone in your body.
You think Steven Seagal gets screwed out of an Oscar every year?
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to check out the Kick-Ass Movie Podcast.
Do it now.
A new movie every week from two college kids with way too much time on their hands.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Check them out online at kickassmoviepodcast.com or myspace.com/kickassmoviepodcast.
Are you ready for action?
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious...
Are you ready for romance?
You know, you may be the first attractive woman I've not wanted to sleep with in my entire life.
Are you ready for horror?
Alive.
Are you ready for Pat McCabe? What? Then you're ready for the action-packed podcast that will scare you silly. You're ready to take a walk in the park. Join Pat McCabe every week as he shows you around the amusement world in his weekly podcast, A Walk in the Park Podcast. You can check out the podcast at www.awalkinthepark.podomatic.com. If you're ready to take a walk on the wild side, then you're ready for A Walk in the Park Podcast, hosted by Pat McCabe.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing. Pirates are probably idiots, too.
Season's over. No more coasters. No more rides. What am I going to do?
Cheer up, Buttercup. Behind the Thrills is here, and hey, we're going to get you through your winter doldrums with the latest news, gossip, and rumors about the theme park world.
That's right. Join me and Eric Yates as we talk about the best of the theme park world.
Upcoming rides, upcoming coasters, upcoming everything. Join us as we go on about the latest and greatest topics of the theme park world from two different ends of the spectrum.
North versus South.
Well, actually, I was going to say because you have a hoo-ha and I have a what's it, but yours works too.
You can visit us online at www.behindthethrills.com, or you can listen to us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Just search Behind the Thrills.
Or you can even hit us up on iTunes at keywords Behind the Thrills. So make sure you join us every Wednesday live on blah, 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 blah.
You want me to say it?
Yeah, that would be good.
Make sure you join us live every Wednesday on Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Just search Behind the Thrills.
Only on BehindTheThrills.com.
Get ready to ride.
Yeah! Welcome back. Let's start the talk.
Don't you let my baby ride, man. Don't you let my baby ride, man. Don't you let my baby ride, man. Don't you let my baby ride.
Yep. Good, I did this last week, and we did it this week, too, and we're almost out of time, and we got so much more crap to talk about. So let's run down the list real quick. Punisher Warzone.
Crap. They're rebooting something they just did 4 years ago that I thought was pretty decent. The 2004.
I will say Punisher Warzone has a really, really cool one sheet. It's like a holographic lenticular kind of one sheet. And while the kids were watching High School Musical 3, I stood in the lobby of the theater and poked at the Punisher poster for a good 15 to 20 minutes. Great ads. But the movie, it's going to suck.
Yeah, it's Marvel Studios just trying to do everything now.
It's from Marvel Studios, I don't think. This is coming from another. This isn't part of the new thing that they're doing.
It's a division of Marvel Studios because they wanted it. They didn't like the TriStar, the other one.
Yeah.
Well, if Marvel Studios has something to do with it, it might be good. But I'll download it. I'll even admit it now. I won't even go see it.
Next one, Earth Stood Still, starring Keanu Reeves.
The mic summed it up perfectly. We don't need.
No, we don't need it.
Yeah.
We don't.
We just don't need
it. I'll probably see it, but I don't have high hopes.
Keanu in a lead role. Surprise.
Dude, he's like got a giant robot and stuff.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
That's the story about the guy that ages backwards, right?
Yeah, I think we can all agree that one's going to be something.
I'm a big David Fincher fan. You know, I didn't care for Zodiac very much, but Seven, damn it, and Fight Club, are you kidding me? What a great flick, man.
I actually liked Zodiac and Alien 3, so yeah, big.
Okay, Alien 3, I didn't care for Alien 3 all that much.
That was a good one.
I liked Alien 4, nobody else did, so there you go.
Yes Man with Jim Carrey.
Isn't this just like the one where he could
Liar. Yeah, just like Liar Liar. That's it.
Yeah, it's just a gimmicky thing. And I think Jim Carrey's way past his sell-by date as a comedian. Is he funny? Is he funny anymore? We'll find out. I don't think he is. But we shall see.
Okay.
Jim Carrey in a movie where he's a lead role, where his life is not on the track, he doesn't want it to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Formula.
Let's see. Let's go on to Frost Nixon.
Ron Howard making a... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Opie making a political film. Good job, sir, Opie.
Surprise.
Yeah, that's you know. When I was younger, someone had told me that I would be watching political tracks made by Opie. You know, I remember as Opie Taylor. People younger than me will remember from Happy Days. But
people younger than me won't remember it at all. So moving on, 60 seconds left. Spirit, Frank Miller.
Could be good. Could be crap.
Archie Dick Tracy.
Bedtime Stories, Adam Sandler.
Enchanted with Adam Sandler.
I saw the preview report. It looked entertaining. I'll probably see it.
Tom Cruise.
Well, nobody can make a good movie but a Scientologist, and so, you know, in the movie, Tom Cruise will fly, and he'll save the world, and he'll teleport himself
okay.
on the planet, you know, and so forth.
And we're out of time, but before we go, we want to say goodbye to one of the great writers of our time. Of course, Mr. Michael Crichton passed away at the age of 66 after a long, silent battle with cancer. If you are a theme park fan, you know his work from Jurassic Park. You know, Jurassic Park, probably one of the biggest movies.
Western World.
Yeah, Westworld, also a very big movie, but nothing
Prophet as big as Jurassic
Park. But nothing as big as Jurassic Park. And for us three, probably nothing touched us much more
this
than...
This has been a production of AwesomeBadness.com.
Yeah, there we go. This has been a production of AwesomeBadness.com. And I guess we're over, so...
You're done.
We're done. So until next week, guys.
Turn us up.
Next week, guys, we'll talk to you later. And until then, thank you for stepping into the abyss.
Stay bad.
Eat the adventure.
It doesn't work anymore, dude.
No idea what that meant.